Testing, 1, 2. Testing. Oh, there it is. All right. Father, we come before you this morning to thank you so much in this afternoon, Lord God, to thank you so much for your grace and love and mercies that you give to us. And Father, what a blessing it is to be here every year, Father, to see your work upon the people, Lord. Lord, to see just what you have done here in, Father, just in the past to the present and looking to the future. And Lord, how you have maintained Robert, Father, with the passing away of his wife, Lord. Lord, we ask you to protect us, to watch over, especially in these days that we're living in, Father. Lord, we ask you for those that are weak and sick, Lord God. Lord, we pray for those that are not only looking to you, Father, but that you would speak to them, Lord. And Lord, that no one in this conference would leave the same, Lord. Father, we came with all these burdens, all these problems, Lord God, or whatever we came here with, Lord God, help us to be transformed, to be changed, to give us peace, Lord God, so that we can not only work for you, Lord God, and serve you, but Lord, we can serve the people fully, completely, Lord God. And Lord, that you would be pleased with us in the things that we say, in the things that we do. And we want to thank you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray, Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Joshua chapter 3. And let me read this from Oswald Chambers. He says, when the heart sees what God wants, the body must be willing to spend and to be spent for that cause alone. And then John Bunyan said, this book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. And you think of how God not only used Joshua, Joshua came out from Egypt, and the Lord not only brought him, but he gave him a great, great mentor, Moses. And even though Moses not only had his own failures and his own problems, yet he was faithful to the Lord, and God was faithful to him. You know, the Bible says that as we are faithful to him, if you're faithful in the small things, he'll give you the bigger things. And I think that's really of importance, because if we're not faithful in the little things that God gives to us, how can he trust us with the things that he has in the future for each one of us individually? The title of my message this morning will be True Faith and True Holiness. True faith and true holiness. Let's begin by reading the text there in Joshua chapter 2, begin verse 1. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove, and came to the Jordan, he and all, notice that, all the children of Israel. And they lodged there before they crossed over. So it was that after 3 days, that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and the ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure. He says, do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way before. Now here's the key verse. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and cross over before the people. So they took the ark and the covenant and went before the people. Now, the book of Joshua, it's about victory of faith. Victory of faith. And also the glory that comes to God, or that comes from God, when we speak not only truth, but his glory comes by trusting him and obeying him. Think for a moment what has been said here. There has been not only a place for love for God, a separation for God, getting away from the world, to trust God, and then to have true repentance in our lives so that God can use our lives fully and completely and to be sanctified or set apart for the Lord. One of the things that really just really bothers me so many times traveling across the country and going overseas, how people don't have the fear of God. Skip was sharing the importance of the Word of God, which that's amazing. Because when you go out of Calvary Chapel, a lot of people don't study the Word of God. And the Word of God is the thing that has maintained me for 40 years. And even before I went to Calvary Chapel, when I got saved, the first thing I went and bought was a sword, the Word of God. And I began to read the Word of God. In those days, then they have different translations. I read the old King James Bible, the these and the thous. And it was really hard because I've never really read a book. So the these and thou and thee and thou. I can say, what the heck is this, you know? But it's so cool that as the Lord touches your life and the Holy Spirit, He begins to change things in your life. One of the things that I thought about when I was reading the passage and reading the chapter, that the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned 16 times in chapter 3 and 4. 16 times. It is called the Ark of the Covenant 10 times, the Ark of the Lord 3 times, and then the ark 3 times. So we see that the ark was very important. Why? The presence of God among the people of God. And one of the things that is missing today in so many churches is the presence of God. Not just in the church, but also among the leaders. The presence of God. It's like people are winging it, you know, just kind of show up and do what they have to do. One of the things that we do at Calvary Chapel Golden Springs is that every Sunday morning, if you want to be involved in the church, you got to be at 6 o'clock in the morning so that we can pray. If you don't want to serve, then you can't pray with us. And that's something that I've learned in ministry, that it's important not only to read the Bible, but to pray. To have communion with the Lord, so that when we have communion with God, for sure He has been speaking to us. And when you get up to teach or to preach, like Skip said, you have something to say. There's a lot of people that have too many words but nothing to say. And one of the things that really gets to me is, you know, not really taking seriously preaching, but it's a lot of jokes in the pulpit. And at the same time, think if you're there to entertain or are you there to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you really have a message? Has God really spoken to you throughout the week, throughout the days? Not only conforming into His image, but first of all, before you can speak to others, He has to speak to me so that I can speak to people. I think that's really one of the key things in being in the ministry and knowing God with your own hearts. You see, it was the throne of God, the place where the glory of God rested over the tabernacle. Over the tabernacle. And the presence of God is very important for each one of us individually, because without the presence of God, we can do nothing. I can do nothing apart from Jesus Christ. The law of God was kept in the ark, a reminder of God's covenant with Israel. With Israel, the covenant of God with Israel. Imagine carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God Himself. And knowing that wherever the presence of God would lead, surely you don't want to go anywhere without the presence of God. You want to make sure God called, God anointed, and God is leading, and I'm following. And I'm following. There's too many people that follow other men instead of following Jesus Christ. We become admired by other people, but what about the Lord? Is He the best in your life? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Are you spending time in the study of the Word, waiting upon God to study God's Word so that He can speak in me and through my life to others? Real important. And that's one thing that I've learned over the years. You don't read commentaries until God has spoken to you. Otherwise, you're going to take other people's notes, other people's commentary. And then how can you really, truly have a heart for God so that the people of God can listen to you as God has worked in me and through my life? Through my life. So that He can accomplish His work, not my work. You remember that the blood of the sacrifices was sprinkled on the mercy seat. And the annual Day of Atonement, it was a tremendous day, the Day of Atonement. Listen to what he says in Leviticus 16:14. He shall take some of the blood of the bulls and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat and on the east side. And before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger 7 times. And then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is before the people, bring its blood inside of the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull. He sprinkled it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So the ark going before the people was an encouragement to the faith. For it means that if their God was going before them, then the opening way was the presence of God before me. Are we waiting for the presence of God today in our own personal lives? Is God really leading, or are you leading? If God doesn't lead, you're going in the wrong way. You're taking the wrong road. And then at the same time, if you're not spending time with God in prayer, then how can you have victory? How can you have faith? How can the glory of God come upon ourselves? And also, how can God and his people trust and obey what God has given to us as we spend time in prayer and our faces before the Lord as he says, I have spoken to you. We are the messengers. We are the servants to deliver not our message, but his message constantly and fully and completely. Let me read to you something that I read from British Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli. He said, the world was never conquered by intrigue. It was conquered by faith. By faith. And I think of all the people today that do not have true faith, which true faith brings true separation from the world and from sin. From the world and from sin. And today, as we look at the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there seems to be sin but no separation. Sin but no separation. And the word sin, harmatia, means what? To miss the mark. Yes, we miss the mark, but willingly, do we miss the mark? Do we use transgression or do we use missing the mark? Transgression is a willful act. A willful act, knowing the truth of God and yet not practicing the truth of God. I'm always amazed at the church because, you know, you're teaching the Word of God. I've done the book of Matthew. I'm in the Sermon on the Mount right now. And going to the Sermon on the Mount is very convicting because you have the Old Testament and the Lord says, but I say unto you. And when you say, I say unto you, you better pay attention because the Old Testament now not only pointed to Jesus Christ, but the Old Testament was preparation for the coming of the Messiah and the grace of God. And yet think of how many people today take advantage of the grace of God. That unmerited favor that God has given to us. So true faith brings true separation from the world and sin. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5, excuse me, he says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. And was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this great testimony that he pleased God. That without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently are seeking him. I hope you came here today to diligently seek him. We must not leave here the same person when we came here. Not just another message. But allowing God through the Holy Spirit to work in my life, having ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. You notice how many times he says, hear what the Holy Spirit says? 7 times in the book of Revelation to 7 churches. Because we have a problem coming and not listening to God. Because listen, we're in church and we're like this. We're a little modern technology. And think of how many hours you spend in the internet and how many hours do you spend on your knees before God. I hope God convicts you. We're so consumed by the internet. So consumed to go here, to go there, you know, when we're supposed to go to the cross. I like that cross back there. To remind me of his redemption. To remind me what Jesus said. He says, if any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Have you denied yourself? Are you willing to take up your cross, the instrument of death? Are you willing to die to self? Are you a real self-centered person? If you are, then John writes to you. He says, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And it's not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away. And the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. I like that. Abides forever. Too many of God's people have made a mistake. That salvation being delivered from the bondage of sin or the bondage of Egypt, the world. In all that is involved in the Christian life, the salvation begins not only with an act of faith coming to Jesus Christ, but it also starts with what? A walk of holiness. I'm not what I used to be. Then why people don't see that? I mean, Joshua comes in the promised land. He has a commission, has a mission from the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant is before them. And the first thing he says, sanctify yourselves. Set yourself apart so that I can use your life. You know, wherever I want to send you, be open to my Holy Spirit to do the work. And yet we have to understand that both not only our personal spiritual growth and our service to the Lord, it has to remain very much and yet possessed by the Holy Spirit and by the heart of God. By the heart of God. In order for me to fulfill what God's called me to do. Tell them I'm not home. Joshua 13:1. And now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old, advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to possess. But Joshua knew, even though he was old, he had done his work. Number one, worship before God, like Skip said, preparing people for the next generation. So that the church or the work of God doesn't die, or the work of God in the church is trusted in one person. One person. Don't build a ministry around you. Build a ministry around Christ. Take the time to spend time with the Lord and looking at people in your congregation. There are not only not yet fit, but you see possibilities, you see great gifts, and then take time to spend time with them, teaching them how to be a leader. And that's not by teaching them from other books, teach them from your own life so that God can see that you're using your gifts and your talents to teach other people. Another thing that I see that is really important as I was reading Joshua is that the command that was given, you know, not only in the book of Hebrews, but also in the Old Testament, he said, let us go on. You can go on if you haven't started with God. I mean, what are you going to do? Hebrews chapter 6:1 says this. Therefore, leaving discussions of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or completeness or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Think of how many times people repent. Am I saved or I'm not saved? We're saved. We came to Christ, right? The problem is not salvation. The problem is disobedience. Disobedience to the word of God. Not really truly obeying what God says in his word. You see, when you say, let us go, most of the people had what? Unbelief. We really didn't believe what God said. Or when he says, let's go, you're not prepared to go. You haven't spent time in prayer. It's time in the word. Time fellowshipping with God. You know, every old book that I read from the 1700s, 1800s, it amazes me. It amazes me because every person that was a teacher or a preacher, they would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and spend 3 to 4 hours in prayer. What time do you get up? What time do you get up and spend time with God? That's really of importance. See, I get to get up at 4 because I go surfing. But it's so cool. But when I get, they don't open the park till 6 o'clock, Santa Ofre. So I sit in my car, and it's a bunch of Christians, and we do our devotions, and we pray, and then we're ready to do whatever God called us to throughout the day. If you haven't connected with God, and I tell people this all the time, if you're not praying, if you're not spending time in the Word of God, what can you say to people? What can you say to people? You're not prepared to speak for God. And the same thing, if you don't study God's Word, then how can you teach? How can you preach? To an audience that is hungry, to an audience that is coming with expectations, and yet they see that it's a bunch of stories and a bunch of jokes, and the Word of God is never preached. In Numbers 14:1, he says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices, and they cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord, he says, why has the Lord brought us to this land? To fall by the sword, that our wives, our children should become victims. He says, would it not have been better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Why is it that not only pastors and people always want to return to Egypt? Shoot, I don't want to go back to Egypt. There's nothing but bad memories. They were talking about the leeks in the gardens. Remember? They didn't have that. They were in bondage. They were, you know, Satan, Pharaoh had them in chains, beating them. There is nothing good in the world that can bring true satisfaction to each one of us individually. To me, it's amazing that they spent 40 years before, you notice, Pharaoh. 430 years. And then to be in bondage, which bondage again is a bondage of sin, and then for God to send a deliverer to deliver them, and then to murmur and complain, they should have been happy. I see a lot of pastors that are not really joyful. God has called you, but you're not joyful. And the reason you're not joyful is because you really don't know God. You really don't know God. Oh, you might know Spurgeon. You might know, you know, all these great writers. But what about the Lord? What about God? We can quote every author, but do we actually quote the main author? Do we might do that? They said, someone said again, remember, this book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. That's exactly what happens today. Sin is keeping people from the book of God. Joshua coming over to the other side in our text, he was excited about being sanctified to God. He wanted the people to be sanctified also. When you talk about the word sanctification, the word is hagiomos. It's a noun that is derived from the verb hagioso, which has in its basic idea the act of setting aside things for ritual purposes and thus making them holy, or the act of separating persons from moral and ritual defilement and thus making them holy. Holy. Be you holy, for I am holy. And the word that he uses, haminosos here, H-A-G-I-A-S-M-O-S in the Greek, therefore because it can be translated this way, sanctification, consecration, or holiness. I like the word holiness. To be set apart. To be growing not only in the holiness of God. Because you're either growing in holiness or you're living your life in unholiness or ungodliness. Where are you today? How are you growing? Are you growing in Him Or are you growing in some other thing that is taking you down instead of lifting you up? You see, sanctification or holiness is produced by God himself. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Did you notice there? Body, soul, and spirit. Spirit's first, soul, and then lastly, it's the flesh. If the Lord Jesus Christ is truly coming, are we consecrated to God? You know what I've learned over these last years? It's just an incredible thing, and I'm not just saying this. In our own church, which is the Calvary Chapel, and we teach the Word of God, it's amazing to me how many people have never read the Bible all the way through, or the Old Testament, and some of the books of the New Testament. How can we expect God to speak to us if we don't know the voice of God? How can we know God if we don't get into the Word and study everything that God has given to the ones in the past so that we can bring it to the present and look to the future? Honoring His Word. And you see, sanctification, holiness, is not only by God but also by Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 2:11, he says, "For both He who sanctifies those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them Christians." Brethren, brothers and sisters. And then thirdly, it's produced by the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1:2. "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Holy Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied." We can't have grace and peace apart from what? Sanctification and obedience. Obedience is so important in the life of a child of God. And then sanctification is produced by truth. John 17:7 says in the Lord's Prayer, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." Notice, "and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." And what's the truth? The Word of God. Joshua was so excited bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the place. Why? The presence of God is among us. But be careful how you walk. Be careful how you walk. The presence of God is there. And Paul says what in Ephesians 4:30? "Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God." He's a person. And the word "grieve" what? To bring pain to the Holy Spirit. And we only do that when we sin against God. Sin brings pain to the heart of God. Six is produced by prayer. Listen to 1 Timothy 4:4. "For every creature of God is good. Nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God." Check this out. In prayer. Even in eating our meals. Sanctified by the word of God in prayer. How about seven? It produces true holiness. 1 Peter 1:15. "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your manner of life, because it is written, 'Be you holy, for I am holy.'" Holiness. Coming into the presence of God, into His holiness. Being set apart for the Lord. As I spend time with Him, quality time with Him, not when I give my time to somebody else, everybody else, I tell the congregation, if you don't spend time with God, you get up in the morning, you shower, you eat, you do all these things, get in your car and go, and throughout the day, Satan comes and you have no defense. No defense. Because you haven't put on the armor of God. If you're not in the Word, you have no defense. You don't have a sword. You know, I did samurai fighting for 6 years. And one of the things about a samurai is when you pull it out and you cut, nothing's going to stop it from the sharpness to cut your head off. Very sharp. And the Word of God is sharper than any sword. And yet we don't use that sword because we don't know how to use it because we don't study. You have to study. When I learned samurai fighting, man, it was a lot of work, a lot of hours, a lot of sweat, a lot of mental training, because you have to concentrate. You have to set yourself apart from the world to be able to defeat your enemy. And who's our enemy? Satan. Satan. And yet the presence of God is before us every single day, especially if you guys are leaders in the church. And again, I want to remind you what God says in his word, Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, and check this out, without which no one will see the Lord. No one will see the Lord apart from holiness. And maybe that's why so many churches are dying. And maybe that's why so many churches have people exiting their churches. And maybe that's why pastors are being defeated by other women and their churches, and they're committing adultery and living a life of sin and drinking their little wine and listening and watching movies you shouldn't watch, you actually shouldn't watch, like pornography, that is going to destroy your lives. It means you're not sanctified. You don't believe in the holiness of God. Be you holy, for I am holy. When we see Joshua getting up early in the morning, spending time with God, Joshua 1:8, skip read it. He said, excuse me, but this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it when? Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have what? Good success. Good success. But sin grieves the Holy Spirit of God. You can sit there and read the Bible, and it means nothing unless the Holy Spirit convicts you. I don't understand how people can do that. I learned about pornography when I was in the world, and it didn't attract me. It didn't attract me. And yet, so many people in the church, coming out of the world into the church where there's light, we were in darkness. Now we see clearly. How can we willingly disobey God's word? And the reason we do that is because of the lust of the flesh. We didn't take Paul's counsel in the book of Romans, reckoning the old man to be dead. You need to read it again. Chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8 of Romans. Because by the time he gets to chapter 12 of Romans, what does he say? He says, I beg you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So you know, this is your rational service. What? Because we're from Jesus Christ. We came from Christ. He called us. He's moving in our lives. And if he's moving in my life, then I need to be consecrated to my master so that he can use his doulos or his servant. Serving him with all of my heart. You know what another thing is lacking in the church? Among teachers? Passion. Passion. We have passion for everything else except for God. Passion. Every one of these men had passion. Joshua, how about Moses? In Exodus 24:4, he says, and Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. He got up early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And then in chapter 34, 4, he cut two tables of stone first, like the first ones. And then Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, and the Lord had commanded him, and he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Getting up early in the morning. Sometimes we get up early in the morning for what? For stupid things. Dumb things. But what about really getting up in your heart and spending time with God? How about David? David in Psalm 57, 8 says, awake my glory, awake lute and harp, I awaken at dawn. I get up before the sun comes up. Even Jesus. Read anybody in the 16, 17, 1800s. They had no television, no movies, no computers. They had God. They had God. Today we have technology and not God. And that's why our country is suffering so much and the church is suffering because of all these things. And then Hezekiah, he says, 2 Chronicles 29:20. And then King Hezekiah rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. Notice prayer. And then how about Jesus? And now in the morning, having risen a long time before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. If Jesus prayed, you think you're better than Jesus? I don't think so. I don't think so. Faith is nurtured by worship and by the word of God. Faith, true faith, sanctification. In conclusion, listen carefully, John Wesley. Catch on fire, the others will love to come to watch you burn. If you catch on to the fire, notice, and others will look at you, they'll catch on fire too. They'll watch you burn for Jesus Christ. Are you willing to burn for Jesus Christ today? Are you willing to be sanctified to the Lord? Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your love and mercies. Lord, I pray for these men and women that have come here with open hearts and, Father, with open minds. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would minister through all the speakers. And, Lord, that even as speakers, Lord, we need to have ears to hear what you're saying to us. So, Lord, we can deliver like the mailman, the mail, to your brothers and sisters, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, we pray for Robert, for his family, Lord God, for the church, and for everything that you have for each one of us individually, Lord, before you come. Help us to be prepared, Father. Help us to walk as you walk, and help us to pray as you prayed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you, Robert.
Stand with me, would you? All right, you guys were a little late getting in for the last session. So the music is